Welcome back, everybody, to Menace Pod, and your NBA and fantasy basketball podcast. I am Scott Keller, flying solo here today for the season 2 episode 9 intro. It definitely doesn't feel right, but I'm as ready as I can be and ready to roll. My partner Steve, you know, he had some scheduled family time, and we've been busy. You know, we've been at this every week since the new year, but we weren't going to leave you hanging, so we pre-recorded a few segments, and I'm just going to do a live intro right now. So this week's a little special, a little outside our normal format. I've got a small quick WNBA update, and I've got a few, and when I say a few, I mean a few NBA news and notes. We'll finish breaking down the remaining four teams in the East Region B, which would be the New York Knicks, Miami Heat, Washington Wizards, and the Charlotte Hornets. And then next week, we'll actually wrap up everything with the individual breakdowns, and we'll finish up and just get East Region C out of the way, which will be Celtics, Nets, Raptors, Bulls, and Magic. And then lastly, after that, we got a little special segment as well. We talk about our Fantrax playoff fantasy league, and we actually got a little segment here featuring our champion, Patrick Jenka. We picked his brain a little bit about what he was thinking when he was making his picks, and, you know, just give him a little give him a little stroke to his ego that he actually deserves here for being last year's champion. So anyways, let's get started.
Name on your paper, first thing.
So last week was the Hall of Fame enshrinement. They enshrined a, you know, a bunch of great guys. I can feel myself getting older by the day when I talk about people getting enshrined to the Hall of Fame that I watched growing up regularly. But Coach Popovich, Dirk, D. Wade, Pau Gasol, and Tony Parker were all enshrined in the Hall of Fame, which makes it a very, very strong Hall of Fame class here. So props to them and congrats to them. And there were some interesting things I saw that weekend. One, Steve actually sent me while he was away. He texted me a picture of this lady that went to the autograph sessions, and she had this whole get up, San Antonio Spurs get up with Coach Popovich. I can't speak right now. I apologize. But yeah, so you'll have to go check that out. She's decked out, but he actually, she walks up to the table and he's like, "Hey, you know, you got to give me a hug. You got to give me a hug." So she got a hug from the Hall of Fame coach and one of the greatest ever. Another thing I saw that was pretty cool was there was a guy who got the symbol of the Hall of Fame logo basically tattooed on his arm. And then he went around to all the newly enshrined Hall of Famers and had them autograph his arm. And then right after that, he was going out to get their autographs tattooed on his arm on the logo. Pretty cool. So I like that as well. So you can see that on Twitter if you check us out at Menace Podman, or X, excuse me. But the other good thing I saw, a story I didn't know about, Holly Rowe. We know her as a sideline reporter for college football, WNBA, among other things. Obviously, people know I watch a lot of WNBA now. I'm actually enjoying it a lot. But she had a little speech there, and she talked about how she was actually diagnosed with cancer in 2015, metastatic cancer, and basically just saying how sports kind of just, you know, helped her get through everything. She called out Doris Burke as a great person that helped her out. She recommended that she go, you know, talk to the V Foundation, and she did that. And it was just basically a little nice little emotional tribute to all the people that have been supporting her through her tough times. While she's still been doing her job for ESPN. So awesome for her. And we're glad that she's doing well. Another thing I wanted to mention, I kept talking about buying some old Skybox cards and how much I love those. Well, I actually picked up three packs of 1989 NBA hoops the other day off eBay. $1.99 was the winning bid. They got shipped out. I received them the other day, opened them up. First pack, you know, it got a Kenny Smith in there, Karl Malone. So cool, you know, some names that we all know. Next pack, get a Joe Dumars. Being Piston fan, you know, awesome, awesome pickup. And then I open up the third pack. I get about halfway through the stack of the 15 cards. And I'm like, what is this? It's a Michael Jordan. I got the number 200 Michael Jordan of the 1989 NBA hoops. It looks beautiful. It looks in great condition. I run to go get a case, throw it in some sleeve, double sleeve it. And yeah, I think I might go get that one graded, sent into PSA or Beckett or something, and see if maybe I got lucky and it's still in, you know, perfect 10 condition. But I would expect a 9. But it was right in the middle. Corners look great. Centering looks pretty good, but that's to my naked eye. So what do I know, right? But anyways, just had to share that and brag about that. Another thing too, Pod Nation, at Pod Nation, they're huge supporters of indie podcasts. They're on X, formerly known as Twitter as well. They actually designed us a sweet AI-inspired logo. They were like, just give us 3 words for your podcast, and we'll, you know, we'll put it in the little AI generator. And I give them basketball, virtuous, and authentic, which I think describes our podcast really well. And they give us a sweet logo. It's an amazing looking logo. They give us like 5, but one definitely stands out above the rest. It's now our logo on X, and you can go see it on there. And I'm going to try and incorporate it into one of our newer logos or things for our podcast as well. So look for that. It's pretty cool looking. All right, so let's bust into the WNBA update.
Here's the update.
So I don't have much for the WNBA update, though I do have, you know, the MVP race is heating up to say, you know, just a few weeks here left here in the regular season. I really think it's just a 2-way race between Stewie and Asia. Personally, I think it's all Stewie. I mean, she's got a little less to work with there in New York. And I think she's doing more and doing more than not so much that was expected in New York, but, you know, Asia's on the defending champions and they're pretty stacked. But I don't know, just as far as numbers and what she's been doing and how much it's changed that team when she's arrived, huge. I think it's amazing. So I think it's Stewie's to lose. And I don't think she does lose it. I think she wins that MVP this year. Also, as far as WNBA, we got to look at, you should be in your playoffs by now, as I mentioned last week. I had 2 teams, as I keep mentioning as well, but one of my teams, I ended up losing the last week by 7 points. I tried to do everything streaming I could to match up with a good guy, a good team that I was playing, and beat them. Unable to come through, so I actually missed the playoffs there in that one. But my other league, I'm 10-1 and starting to roll through the playoffs, even though we've just had a few games as of now, as of early this week. But should be fun. But as you play, if you are playing, there's a lot of streamers, and obviously in the playoff, you can pick up streamers like crazy because you want to get all those points. It's, you know, pretty much now or never. So there's a lot of people you can look at. But as far as people returning from injuries, Elena Deladon, looks like she's going to return this week. So that's huge for owners of her. There's another Jessica Shepherd we mentioned returning. She's been great, but now Dorca Juhas has a hamstring injury, so it makes her even better and just solidified in that starting lineup. So if you don't have her or she's not, you know, she's still available, she's a great one to have on your team. Who else was out there? Oh, Kia Stokes. I keep mentioning Kia Stokes in Las Vegas. Obviously, once Candace Parker went down, she was a very viable option. So go ahead and take a look at her if she's available. And then, Chicago Sky, Kalia Copper looks to probably be out with a non-COVID illness this week. So check your lineups there if you need to replace her with anything. Probably Dana Evans is probably your best bet to take her spot. And then as always in Atlanta, I mention her every week, Nia Coffey, always a great pickup, can be used wonderfully. She's a great player. She can rack up some points for you. So if she is available for you to stream, or even you could actually keep her on your roster for a while. I think she's a pretty, pretty consistent. She's been putting up over 20 fantasy points a game. So check her out. All right. Now, as far as news and notes, I'm just going to go in real quick. James Harden. We heard a lot about James Harden. I really don't know what to believe. I mean, we're just getting hearsay. I don't know. Ownership said over in Philadelphia. I don't know what James Harden said. I don't care. It sounds like there might have been some, you know, a little verbal agreement between Daryl Morey and James Harden. You know, I don't know. All I know is he's a great player. He's a future Hall of Famer, in my opinion. And I thought it was funny. I read something because he's over in China. And if you see anything on social media, you can see him over in China. And they seem to love him over in China. But there was a quote from Bleacher Report I saw on X. And it said, he loves China so much that he thinks they, you know, actually, let me find it word for word. Here we go. Quote, I feel like they deserve to actually see me come play in China. The love is always crazy here. And that's what James Harden said. James Harden seems like he's starting to slowly fall apart, get a little bit crazier and crazier by the day. And I would not be shocked if he ended up just playing in China one day here, you know, a year later, and just said, screw the NBA right now. I really don't care. But that's to be seen. So we will see that. But the James Harden saga continues. And you know, like we saw, they stopped trade talks in Philadelphia for him. So either he's gonna play there, or he's gonna be disgruntled. And I don't know. That's not a good look for him. But we've seen it over and over in all these different destinations he's been at. So I don't know. We'll see how that turns out. Steve sent me some updates as well, just to give everybody. The Chicago Bulls sign Terry Taylor. I'll be honest, I don't even know who Terry Taylor is, so I would have to look him up and give you proper information on who he is, but I'm not going to. But he got signed by the Bulls. as far as injuries, we're looking at Jock Landale of the Houston Rockets. He just signed that 4-year deal. He rolled his ankle pretty bad, I guess, here, so he will be out of the World Cup, but he's expected to be back for training camp here in, 6 weeks? We'll see if, you know, see if it's more serious than some people say. But yeah, that one's out there. And then another guy who will be missing the World Cup is Boston Celtics Kristaps Porzingis, diagnosed with plantar fasciitis. And I hear that all the time. I know it has something to do with your foot, but I never really knew the exact kind of medical diagnosis behind it. So basically, the plantar fascia is it connects tissue from the base of your toes to the heel. So it supports the arch of your foot. You can get some tension, stress on it. It can cause tears, can get inflamed, can be pretty painful. It can last for a long time. And we've seen it with, you know, all different sports players. And they're using their feet, they're jumping a lot, and I can't imagine, you know, sore arches and things like that they're pretty painful. So, again, this is something where they say he'll be ready for training camp here in 6 weeks. It's to be seen, but hope the best for him and in his start in Boston. Another guy who's been in the news, we see Cooper Flagg. So, Cooper Flagg, he's a 16-year-old. We saw him play in these, geez, I don't even know what type of leagues they were, but he's just been dominating these other invitational type things over the summer. I think he's, a lot of people probably think he's going to Duke or whatnot, but nonetheless, he reclassified from 2025 to 2024. So he will be eligible here for the draft earlier. So that's something to look at. It. People are kind of just, you know, Victor is done. So let's move on to the next big prospect. And it seems to be Cooper Flagg right now. So I'm sure there'll be tons of stories about him over the next year. All right. So I think that covers it for a nice little solo intro here. Again, it was weird. Steve, I can't wait to have you back next week. We just got a short break here. And on the other side, you hear Steve and I finishing the breakdown for East Group B. Enjoy. Hey, it's Scott from Menace Podman, and if you love sports and you're a somewhat low-key gambling degenerate like I am, you should definitely check out Outlier.bet. They have a super easy-to-use platform supported on both mobile and desktop sites, and it really allows you to crunch the numbers and make you get some confidence in the bets that you're making. You can do multiple things on Outlier. You can explore across multiple markets. You can get suggestions on and curated picks. You can analyze trends, matchup data, line movement. And my favorite feature, Outlier is integrated with multiple betting sites, so you can seamlessly transfer your picks to automatically fill out your bet slips with just as easy as two clicks. So there's a link directly in the show notes to Outlier. You should check them out. Click on the link, go to the site, sign up, get a free 7-day trial of Outlier, and go win some money. All right, so we are going to finish up East Region B, or Group B, excuse me. That'll be New York, Miami, Washington, and Charlotte here. And I guess we'll just get started with the Knickerbockers. Yeah, New York. I had a lot of hope in New York. I picked them to beat Cleveland last year. They lost in the second round there to Miami in that classic 90s East battle, which was a lot of fun. That's exactly what I wanted to see. But yeah, no, I love the Knicks. I love them. I like a lot of fantasy relevant guys there. Well, yeah, not a lot, but a few. There's some good guys. Brunson, I love. But yeah, you can go break that down a little bit further here.
Yeah, let's start with Jalen Brunson. Definitely established himself as a starting point guard last year. You know, he was playing before that with Dallas, you know, alongside Luka Doncic. Now he has his own team that he's running, and he did a great job. He's looked fantastic this summer with Team USA, and I think he's just going to build on the success that he's had, you know, this last year. And, you know, they love him. He's been a fantastic fit. They brought in a bunch of his college teammates, so there's all kinds of camaraderie. You know, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo. We talked all about the whole Villanova, you know, the whole connection there. Just a lot of good vibes coming from this team and this fan base that's been starving for this. So, yeah, I think Brunson is going to just continue to build on his success. I think in terms of fantasy, I'm not ready to call him like a star point guard, but I think, again, he's one of those guys that I would love to take as like a second point guard on my team to pair with another, you know, like elite point guard. And yeah, and he's still got all kinds of room to grow. So he could potentially get to be a marquee guy at that position, you know, so all kinds of upside. Sky's the limit. Julius Randle, he's a guy that I have not typically been a fan of across Ninecat. He's a guy that, again, like in points leagues and stuff like that, he has way more value. But across nine categories, he has some deficiencies in his game. But I think he's a good fit with this team and with Brunson. And I think he's, you know, due for more success. You know, I think Mitchell Robinson at center, I think he had a nice, you know, reasonable bounce back season and, you know, looked like he established himself alongside Randle. You know, those two have good chemistry and good connection. Quentin Grimes, we talked about him and his growth and his development, and he was kind of in and out of the starting lineup. It seemed like they weren't sure if they wanted to start him or start Josh Hart. I think they're going to stick with Grimes. I think they're going to stick with him and his floor spacing. I think just the fit there. I think they view Hart and DiVincenzo and Emmanuel Quickly all as like those second unit, you know, energy and scoring guys. You know, Isaiah Hartenstein was a really good pickup for them last year, backing up Robinson, you know, and he stepped up at times when Robinson was out with injury. So I think one of the biggest keys for this team is going to be RJ Barrett. I mean, he just needs to, you know, I think he's coming into like his fourth or fifth season now. This is like put up or shut up time for him, and he's getting paid pretty big bucks here. So I think he really needs to turn a corner here and do something. Cause I mean, in terms of fantasy, he's been awful. He's a guy that can score, but really doesn't do anything else. And I think that translates to real life success for this team. I think he needs to add to his game. I think he needs to focus more on the defensive end and just kind of like fit in with the rest of these guys, you know? So it's going to be up to Coach Tibbs to kind of, you know, keep tweaking these lineups and figuring it all out. But yeah, I like this team. I like a lot of these players in fantasy. I think it's going to wind up being a good fit, you know?
I completely agree. I love Jalen Brunson, like I just mentioned here in the opening. I don't know how far he falls or when I have to pull the trigger to get him. Maybe I can get him in the third round as my second guard after taking somebody above in the first two rounds. If I can do that, I'll definitely, if he's available and I can get him there, I would definitely do it. I love him. I think he brings so much. And I think he's only getting better.
He finished at 46 across nine cat, and you know, he's only going to go up. Plus he's on the Knicks, you know, anybody that's on the Knicks, if you want him, you know, you just have to know like popularity, they're going to go early. So yeah, third round I think is like a perfect spot to kind of target him. If you take a guard in the first round, hell, you could even pair him with Luka.
You could pair him with, I'm sure
anybody.
If I had Halliburton in one and Brunson in three, I'm very happy. I'd do that.
SGA, anybody. Even a Steph Curry, anybody. Yep.
Actually, in my last mock, I had SGA in the first and Brunson in the third. So it's pretty, I like it. But everything you said about RJ Barrett is true. He shows lots of glimmers of hope, though. I think he has it, but I don't know. It just comes and goes. It's so interesting with him. But yeah, I think he's the piece that makes the New York Knicks go. But as far like defensively, if he does pull in defensively, this team defensively is actually really good with, like you said, the Mitch Robs, Harden, like I can't see rebounds written across the entire lineup. And even second, quickly, DiVincenzo, Hart, man, they're just solid guys to back up. But as far as fantasy relevant, like you said, to me, it's Brunson. Randall and Robinson have some appeal, but that's got to be the right spots.
I think Robinson actually, in terms of nine cat, he was 52nd last year. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. Now that's per game. He was limited to just 59 games. So obviously he has to stay healthy, but he's another guy that blocks a ton of shots and he's just a really good player across nine categories. And he's a guy that falls. He tends to fall in a lot of drafts. So if you're, you know, low on centers, he's definitely a guy to target and have ready to go. Cause he's got value. He's got upside.
I was going to say, like you said, they just need minutes. And if he is healthy, he's one of the, it's either Robinson or Hartenstein that's on the floor. Usually, I mean, throughout the entire game, they don't switch all these different people and have different schemes in that center spot. So it's, I guess Randall once in a while did last year when they were injured, but that was about it. So,
yeah. And then, you know, the only other thing I just wanted to mention real quick with this team is, you know, we talked before about how Evan Fournier, he's, you know, trying to get out, you know, we'll have to kind of see what happens with him, but you know, he's a guy that I think if he stays on the Knicks, I don't see him playing, you know, pretty much ever again. But if he goes to a different team, he could have some value depending on his role. And, you know, he's a scorer. So whatever team he goes to, you know, we talked before about Bojan Bogdanović, really both Bogdanovic's, he's a similar type of player. And I think in terms of fantasy, he's got low end value for his scoring if he gets on the right team in the right situation. So just a guy to kind of keep in mind as well.
All right. Got a lot of background noise today. I apologize for that. Anyway, so we'll move on to the Miami Heat. Probably the biggest question mark. One of the biggest question marks we have this year, because we have no idea what's happening with Dame. But I don't even know how to, I guess we just attack it as if Dame's not there and we just go with the lineup that they have right now. But
yeah,
I'm sure that's very just going to change here if this works out.
Well, we can definitely start with Jimmy Butler, and we've talked all about him. We talked about what a beast he was again in the playoffs and just such a good player. And just really for his age and stuff, he still was so good in fantasy, not only per game, but in terms of totals. He only played 64 games, but that was enough for him. In terms of total value, I need to reset my page here real quick, but I want to pull this up because I want to give him his props. He finished eighth overall in terms of total value last season in nine cat. That's super impressive.
That's insane. I didn't know it was that high.
In just 64 games. So, I mean,
I had a comment on Twitter or X or whatever, they had the rankings for NBA 2K24 came out, and Jimmy Butler was like, I can't remember what it was. I think it was like a 93 or something like that. He was in like top 10 players.
Yeah, I saw
and I commented and I was like, is that playoff Jimmy? And so obviously I'm oblivious to the fact too, that he was that good during the regular season as well.
Yeah. And it's something that, you know, again, he's notorious for being one of those, you know, kind of, you know, known for missing games and load management and all that stuff. And that's not going to change as he gets older. And especially it won't change if they bring Dame in. So it's something to keep in mind, but I don't think people should be letting Butler slip too far in drafts, because I mean, the talent's there, the production's there. And so I still really like him in fantasy. You know, I would never take him as a first round pick, but anywhere, you know, second, third round for sure. I wouldn't let him go beyond that.
It's kind of
too good.
It kind of reminds me of the WNBA situation a little bit with the New York Liberty, where I kept talking about they were bringing in a Stewie, and mm-hmm. Stewie's over here. And I was like, Stewie's going to take away from the rest of this full roster, but I don't think anybody's going to take away from Stewie. And I kind of feel the same way about Jimmy Butler. Even if they do bring in Dame, I don't think Jimmy loses any value. I think Dame loses value by going to Miami. So
yeah, I think the only thing that brings Jimmy down is his health. You know, if he gets hurt, obviously, and if he's missing games, that kills his value. Other than that, the sky's the limit. He's still going to have the ball in his hands. He's still their franchise guy. He's their go-to guy. He's their horse, you know, and it starts and stops with him. And then obviously Bam Adebayo still there, you know.
Bam Adebayo.
Same with him, man. You know, there's ups and downs with him in terms of his fantasy game, but, you know, he's still a borderline elite option at the center position, and a guy that, again, you don't want to wait too long if you, you know, point guards and centers go early and often. So if he's sitting there, you know, third round, he won't last any longer than that. You know, you definitely have to take him, and he's a solid player, solid fit. But beyond those two, the rest of this team is a total crapshoot. Kyle Lowry, I think he's done in fantasy at this point. I think even if somehow Dame doesn't wind up in Miami and they start the season with Kyle Lowry as their starting point guard, I just don't see that lasting. In fact, I think if they were to begin the season as is, I think Josh Richardson has a really good chance to start in the backcourt. If Tyler Hero's healthy, I think he'll start. And Hero's a guy that could see more ball handling duties. And then your boy, Jaime Jaquez, man, he's looked really good.
I love Jaime. Yep.
Did you see that dunk that he had?
Just recently? I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. They were doing like a Miami Pro-Am game, Summer League. And he had a really good dunk. It was like two-handed flush, just looked awesome.
He's one of my favorite players out of the entire draft, but obviously I think I already expressed that. But I love him. And if he, man... God, if for some odd reason he becomes a piece of a Dame trade or something, goes somewhere else, watch out. He's going to be even more explosive.
And if he doesn't, he's a guy to keep your eye on very clearly and very carefully, because we don't know what's going to happen with this roster. And if it gets torn apart, they aren't going to have many pieces left. So he's a guy that could absolutely have fantasy value from the get-go. So definitely, you know, keep him at least on a watch list and ready to put on your draft board. As far as the starting power forward spot, I think that's wide open between Kevin Love and Caleb Martin. They kind of switched those two around. You know, I think they like Kevin Love, and if he's healthy, I think they'd probably like to start him. But we might wind up seeing something to kind of what they did with Kyle Lowry last year, where they just said, hey, we're going to bring you off the bench, preserve your minutes a little bit. And Caleb Martin proved that, you know, he's got a lot of game and he's a good fit with those guys as well. So I think either way, in terms of like regular season fantasy, I think those two kind of cancel each other out. But I like Caleb Martin as a late round guy, and a guy that, again, benefits for when these older players get hurt or just rest, you know, sit games.
Yeah, exactly. We saw that throughout the playoffs last year where Kevin Love later on in the playoffs didn't really get starts any longer. Caleb Martin was doing great, but then they switched it kind of last minute there. So, I don't know. Just something to take a look at. But, yeah, I don't think you obviously don't really have any. They're great from a same-game parlay betting daily fantasy standpoint because they're some of those guys that you can get usually for a cheaper dollar that actually, you know, produce and put up some good numbers in games.
Yeah. Start. Yeah, so. Absolutely. Caleb Martin is, yeah, exactly. Perfect for DFS in those situations.
Yeah, he's been a rebounding machine some games when he needs to be. So, yep. All right. I think that covers Miami. Let's hop
For now, that's all we can really say.
Yeah. Let's hop into the Washington Wizards real quick.
Yeah,
definitely a few personnel changes over the summer for them.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about this team. We had our emergency pod that we did when free agency first began, and we talked about it. They made a ton of changes. Obviously, Bradley Beal, Kristaps Porzingis, they're gone, long gone, and they've torn this team up. You know, it's looking like a full-on rebuild at this point. They brought back Kyle Kuzma. We talked about that. I don't agree with that move. I think that was a bad move. They're paying him to be a superstar, and I just don't see that kind of upside with him. Now, you could, you know, say that a lot of people said the same thing about Utah last year, and we saw what happened with Lauri Markkanen. We saw the step that he took. I think that's what the Wizards are kind of hoping for. I think they're hoping for Kyle Kuzma to take that kind of a leap in terms of his own game and his efficiency. And, you know, in terms of fantasy, I think that's what anybody would want if they're drafting Kuzma. And obviously there's going to be upside in terms of scoring. You know, he's going to score more points than he did last year. It's just, it's going to happen. I mean, just in this role, this opportunity, there's no doubt about it. The question is, what else can he do with his game? You know, can he expand his game? Can he start hitting threes? Can he be better defensively? Can he do the things that Lauri Markkanen did to put himself, you know, into that upper echelon of fantasy players? It's going to start and stop with him, but also same thing with Jordan Poole. We've seen at times Jordan Poole, when he was with Golden State, we saw him, you know, have to kind of take over when some of their lead guys were out with various injuries or rest days or whatever. And we've seen the upside there, but can he do it across an entire season and do it, you know, at a productive pace? I have a lot of questions on that, but I think there comes a point where, like, you have to look at him in drafts. You know, I wouldn't, you know, he's going to be a popular pick, you know, kind of a, you know, I don't want to say sleeper because I think everybody kind of knows, but just that upside, you know, kind of like we talked about before with like that mystery box element. These guys are stepping into bigger roles on teams that clearly are worse than where they're coming from. And so that mystery box element's always going to be there, and it's always going to be appealing to try to shoot for the stars, so to speak. You know,
I was going to say that the mystery box for me is how many turnovers will he have per game?
Exactly.
That's what I'm really interested about.
Exactly. As much as he's got the upside, he's also got a lot of opportunities to, like you said, you know, display his inefficiencies in terms of his game, you know, the turnovers, the poor shooting. He's going to jack up a lot of shots. You know, if he's making them, it's going to look great, but if he's missing them, it's going to look really bad. It's going to look really bad for your fantasy team.
Yeah. I'm on the track. I won't draft him. I won't draft him out because I won't feel bad if I don't draft him and he balls out. I'll just be like, well, you know, it was a good decision by me not to do it. And I was just happened to be wrong and he had a good year, but
I've seen people reaching for him at spots where it's like you're passing up on like clearer, better talent, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, if he does ball out, but if somebody who drafted him took him in like the third round or something like that, all right, cool. But you passed up on a lot of good talent there too. So,
yeah, that comp, Kuzma, the Kuzma comp with Lauri, the finisher, Lauri Markkanen. That's right on.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what, you know, people are hoping for, but I'm skeptical. I probably will not be drafting either of those guys. They brought in Tyus Jones, who I've said, I do like, and we've seen, you know, his time with Memphis. We saw that when he filled in for John Morant, he looked like a, you know, bona fide starting point guard in the NBA. So, yeah, you know, I think sky's the limit there, but I also think, you know, Poole's going to be running a lot of the offense. They still have DeLon Wright on the team too. They brought in Landry Shamet. These guys are all going to handle the ball at times. So, I've even heard rumors that they might start Jordan Poole at point guard and bring Jones off the bench, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me unless you're starting DeLon Wright instead. But otherwise, yeah, it's a weird mix of players. Denny Avdija, we've seen him before. He's had opportunities where he's been able to step up. But again, over the course of an entire season, I have some doubts on that. Corey Kispert, I do like him. But on this team, I mean, I think he would need a couple of guys to, you know, either get injured or something, just clear more room for minutes and touches at a consistent level for me to consider him in fantasy. Otherwise, the only other guy that I do like on this team a lot that has a ton of upside is Daniel Gafford at the five spot. I think he's got a lot of opportunity. He's already shown he's a productive fantasy player with his shot blocking. He's definitely another one of those like rim runners. You know, he's got good percentages around the rim. But can he expand his game further? Can he be more of a go-to guy? Can he maybe score more? You know, these are all questions that remain to be seen.
Exactly. Yeah. Me personally, Washington Wizards, not touching anybody on here with a 10-foot pole, except the exception. You mentioned Tyus Jones. I think late rounds, if he falls somewhere, he's that guy that we keep talking about at the end that you can take a chance on. That's a guy I might take a chance on.
I like Gafford too. I actually, going back to when we talked about Mitchell Robinson with the Knicks, you know, I kind of view those two as similar. Like they're both guys that tend to fall a little bit in drafts. But I mean, if you need centers, if you're running low, if you've only got a couple centers, those are guys that you can target later.
And maybe my memory serves me wrong, but I feel like I remember Gafford getting in foul trouble a lot last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if he gets in foul
trouble. He's got some injury stuff too. So, I mean, you definitely take the good with the bad. I'm not saying you have to reach for him. I'm saying
if he falls
and if he's sitting there and you need a center, he's a guy that you can sort of roll the dice on for that upside and that value. And then if it doesn't work out, if it's a late enough pick, then, you know, you just move on and recover from there.
Completely. All right, and let's wrap up East B with the Charlotte Hornets. And I know you've got some opinions on them.
I do. Got opinions and just a lot kind of going on, even though this team hasn't really done a ton. You know, we talked about it last time. They've changed ownership. Michael Jordan officially sold the team. And I think that's kind of between that and their max extension that they gave to LaMelo Ball, that's kind of taken up the majority of their time. They did bring back Miles Bridges because he quickly decided to take the qualifying offer. So he's playing on a 1-year deal. We talked all about that. He's trying to basically resurrect his career and prove that he can keep things going. But, you know, you and I both talked about how personally we're not real big on that. We're not real big on him. But he's got talent. And, you know, he's got an opportunity to step back into the lineup and play. And a lot of that is because we're still waiting on some free agent situation stuff with this team. PJ Washington's a restricted free agent. He has not had a lot of interest or activity. And, you know, we've talked before about how restricted free agents can kind of get the shaft. This is a perfect situation of that. But also Kelly Oubre Jr., he's still sitting out there. And he was a, you know, relatively big part of their rotation last year. He's out now too, you know, still available, you know, and I think someone will pick him up. He's probably just trying to get something more than just the minimum at this point. But in any case, the Hornets still have guys here and we can kind of break them down. Let's start first with LaMelo Ball. You know, he was obviously injured majority of last season. He's got to be healthy. Kind of reminds me a lot of Cade Cunningham, you know, just
exactly.
If he's out, this team does not stand a chance at all. But if he's healthy, they've got a chance to maybe do something. But he has a chance to be a marquee fantasy player. So he's a guy that I like taking a little bit of an upside draft pick on, but I'm not taking him first round. I'm probably not taking him second round. If he's there in the third round, I don't mind taking him at all. But I think a lot of people will probably wind up taking him second round. And again, we talked all about how point guards go early and often, assists go early and often. So he's a high assist guy. He's a guy that I like. I do think Terry Rozier sticks with him in the backcourt. And he's a guy that, you know, in the past he's been kind of up and down, but he's got a good overall game. And he's a guy that you can kind of say, hey, look, you know, if Ball does get hurt, that's going to slide Rozier likely to the point guard spot.
That's funny you say that. That exactly happened to me. So I guess I should go back. So LaMelo Ball, emotionally, I just see the Ball name and I don't like the guy. I don't want him on my team.
But I talked about it.
Yes, but I understand exactly what you're talking about as far as potential. And yeah, a third round. Like I was talking about taking Brunson in the third round. If you're between Ball and Brunson, the sky is probably a little bit higher for Ball than it is for Brunson, I believe.
Yeah, but, and I think most people probably...
But then you talked about right now. So Terry Rozier in one of the teams I had last year, I put him in a trade and got rid of him because he just, as you said, very inconsistent, up and down. I was like, I'm sick of this guy on my
especially
roster.
Especially the percentages.
Yes. I'm like, I can't do it anymore. So then as soon as I traded him, LaMelo Ball got injured. He was pretty much gone the rest of the year, right? And Terry Rozier got a lot more consistent
he's just doing more. He's handling the ball more. The usage goes way up. Yep. And, you know, now he's picking up assists and stuff. He has that upside in those categories that makes him still, you know, a somewhat attractive player in fantasy. Yeah. A guy that definitely once pretty much other than LaMelo Ball, I think pretty much this entire team in terms of fantasy, once you get past like pick 100, I think that's a perfect time to start looking at all these guys because Gordon Hayward's still there. Yep. And we know the deal with him. He's still a good player, but he's always hurt. And so you just take the good with the bad. After pick 100, he's a guy that you can take and put in your lineup and just say, hey, look, I'll use him when I have him. And when I don't have him, I'm not losing anything by drafting him this late. I would say the same thing about Brandon Miller and Miles Bridges. And I don't know which of them is going to start. You know, Bridges, he's going to miss the first, 10 games for suspension. When he comes back, you know, I don't know what the plan is, if he'll start or come off the bench. But both of those guys have that upside. But they're not guys that I'm, you know, drafting anywhere before that. So, you know, if you want to take them around 100 or later, it's an upside pick. And at that point, I don't have a problem with it. There's so many question marks with this team. At the center spot, you know, we saw Mark Williams take over the second half of the year when they traded, Mason Plumlee away to the Clippers. That opened up the starting spot and Mark Williams took it and sort of ran with it. But also like we saw Kai Jones kind of hanging around. We saw Nick Richards hanging around, getting some minutes. So, you know, I think Mark Williams definitely has the most upside, and he's the one of those three that I would be willing to pick in fantasy to draft. But again, not somebody that I'm reaching for, just somebody that if he's there towards the end of the draft, I'm fine with taking a flyer on him and just seeing what happens. And that's kind of how I view this whole team right now, other than LaMelo Ball. And even LaMelo, we said, you know, if you're taking him super early, you're running a huge risk because A, is he going to stay healthy? And B, how efficient is he going to be? He's kind of like, he reminds me a lot of Trae Young. You know, he's got the assists and the scoring upside, you know, but can he handle the ball and watch the turnovers, keep them down, and can he keep the percentages, you know, relatively high? Those are big questions.
Yeah, that's all right on. It's a very interesting team. Like you said, the makeup and what's going to happen. This might be one of the teams that's the most, I don't know what's going to happen type thing. Cause yeah, you got people, you got even guys like Leaky Black that they drafted from North Carolina, and he's had a solid summer league and he's got some potential. Obviously this isn't like beginning of the year draft, you know, stuff like that, but something to look in later in the year and things, or if injury bug starts hitting, what kind of potential these guys have. But yeah, as far as I'm drafting, I don't like any of these guys. Yeah. Brandon Miller, I still think is, I hope he proves me wrong. I feel like he's still overrated. I don't think he's as good as everybody else thinks he is, but like I said, hopefully I'm wrong there. Miles Bridges, I think, is that guy. You take him very low, and I bet he starts, and I bet he produces because he's just got so much talent, and you just got to put aside the personal stuff. But LaMelo, I can't do it. I don't know what it is.
Neither could MJ.
Yeah, exactly. So he just got out of there. He was like,
time to go, Maryland.
And he just took off. He just took off. But
very fitting.
Yeah. But anyways, that finishes here. What was I don't even
group
remember.
B.
Group B of the East. And actually coming up after this, first there'll be a quick commercial break, but after this will be we actually go back in time a little bit. We talk about our Fantrax playoff fantasy league. We have a little discussion with the champion of last year, Patrick Janka. He joins us for his Menace Podman debut. It's pretty good. Stay tuned. It'll be awesome. And just listen to it after the break. And we hope you enjoy it. And yeah. That's it. Enjoy it. It'll be good. We enjoyed recording it too.
Stay tuned.
All right.
Hey, this is Steve from Menace Podman. Scott and I have been having a blast creating our podcast. I can't tell you how much we look forward to recording days and providing amazing NBA content to our listeners every week. It's hard work, but with the right software, it's a lot easier. We use Podcastle to seamlessly edit and create production quality sounding podcasts. Podcastle is now equipped to record audio and video and distribute to all the places podcasts are found. You can find a link directly in the show notes to Podcastle. So if you're a podcaster or future podcaster, go check out Podcastle.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Scott, and he's Steve, and we are Menace Podman, and this is your NBA fantasy basketball podcast. Of course, you can hear us anywhere across the globe. We actually just got some new listeners in the Philippines just this week. Pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
So we always like to remind everybody, leave a review, a message for us, a rating, anything you can helps boost us up the charts. We appreciate it. So right now, it's been quite some time since we wrapped up the 2022-23 NBA season and the
Golden Nuggets
were crowned champions. Since then, we've been busy with a bunch of off-season news and transactions, among other things, and we've realized we neglected circling back to our NBA playoffs fantasy season kind of results show. So we actually mentioned the league for the first time. I believe it was season one, episode 13, Better Late Than Never. Since then we've been sprinkling in a whole bunch of other mentions, and we just never got back to it. So this is it.
We did kind of go over, we did the top 25 ranks.
Correct.
For the playoffs across nine categories. So we sort of did that, but yeah, we didn't kind of bring it full circle with our league. And you know, we went over our draft results before. I think we did that in a different pod, kind of talked about the league itself and talked about our draft, but that was really just the two of us. And, you know, we went over all the first five rounds, I think. And then the second half of the draft, you and I just kind of went over our own picks real quick. And that was it. So we didn't really bring it to a close. So we're going to go ahead and do that now.
Exactly. So we'll just, talk a little bit more about how the league was set up, maybe review draft results a little bit here. Like Steve said, we went over them a little bit in a previous pod. And then maybe just talk about, you know, things that surprised us, things we might be do differently coming up next year or whatnot. But also joining Steve and I today on the podcast, making his Menace Podman debut. He's not only the champion from last season, but great friend of ours, my best man, Patrick Janka. So welcome to the pod. Glad you could join us.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. I've been looking forward to getting on here and talking sports with both of you.
First ever guest.
Yep. The first one.
Welcome to the ranks, buddy.
Welcome.
The
anytime,
champ is so. Here.
I thought about that. But Yeah, a fun little story with Pat. Yeah, I probably told this back on the
behind the mic. We have lots of fun stories with Pat.
Yeah, yeah. The behind the mic episode, I probably talked about a little bit, but Pat and I were enemies on the court to begin with before we became friends. But yeah, all my friends now that I currently have today are somehow rooted through Steve and basketball. Basketball is always the root of it, some way or another. And it's totally true. Sounds made up. And cliche, but totally
true. Real deal. That's why we're here.
Yeah. So how about you? You got anything you want to dap up Pat a little bit with?
How much time we got?
We got all night. We got all night.
I couldn't think of a better, you know, first guest for our pod. You know, Pat was with us before on ColorCast a little bit, kind of off and on.
Yeah, and from the beginning. Yeah.
He knows his stuff. I mean, Pat and I, we met together at Dick's Sporting Goods. And, man, the first – like conversation I think we ever had, we were talking about, you know, different sports that we like, and we both found out that we like basketball. And then I was like, you ever do fantasy basketball? He was like, what? But I was like, trust me, man, just sign up. You're going to have a good time. And here we are 21 years later doing a podcast all about it.
Don't put a year with it, man. Don't put a year with it.
Too late. It's out there. They all know how – they know we're old. Everybody knows it's out there.
They do. They do.
Secret's out.
So, yeah, I guess to get started, what this is our fourth year we did the playoff league. I actually won the first year we did it. And that was the bubble year. Yes, but the second season, Porzingis Among Us, I believe was Ua. Yep. On that one, Ian took care of the third year, I believe, and now we have the most current champion, Pat, here with us. So, but yeah, Steve, I don't know if you want to give a what pop into what just kind of settings and the just the regular stuff we did to
start so it. we've talked all about it before, and again, you know, feel free to go back and listen to, you know, the previous episodes, but we've done this league through Fantrax, and I want to give them a shout out again. Just give them one more, you know, pat on the back. You know, we really appreciate the opportunity. We went into this at length, but, you know, the other sites don't really offer playoff leagues. I don't understand why. Hopefully that changes in the future. But if not, you know, we'll keep using Fantrax because they do a great job. You can customize your league pretty much any way you want it. And the way we do it is always the same. We have 10 teams. They're 10 player rosters, and it's 9-cat roto. And they're all flex spots. So you just draft your teams. There's no worrying about positions. There's no worrying about setting your lineup. You just draft your team and then you let it go. And it just goes throughout the duration of the playoffs. As guys lose or get hurt or anything like that, they just kind of go away and that's it. You know, you just play until you're done. And like we said, you know, we played out this year and, you know, Patrick, we'll get into our draft and we'll get into his team a little bit. But, you know, he came out victorious in the end, had a really good roster. And, yeah, we're going to break it all down.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing, and like you said, we've talked about this a bit, but I mentioned it. It's like the whole, I don't know, like the old Ronco, the oven set it and forget it. I love it. So if the people that don't pay attention to the league, like you said, they're all in flex spots, 10 spots, and it's, nobody's going to cause somebody else to win a championship or anything like that. That's kind of cool.
And I don't see any other way to do it. I mean, for the playoffs, you've got people coming and going, you know, and it's less players. There's really no better way. Just kind of, you know, pick everybody and then just let them go and let's see what happens.
Exactly. So yeah, you want to hop into some draft stuff and kind of what we did or why we did it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we went before, you know, like I said, there was another episode where we kind of broke down our draft. We went through round by round. We can do that again. But I really want to give Pat kind of his time here to, you know, kind of talk about his team. What's convenient is, you know, he had the number one pick, so we can go ahead and start things off. We can just kind of go through, you know, either way we'll start with him. So he had the number one pick.
Jason Tatum.
He took our man JT. And I did. Pat, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and just throw it over to you, man. What were your thoughts on that pick, and how did it work out for you?
Well, obviously it worked out for me winning the championship, but I had when I was sitting there and I had the number one pick, it was between three players. The way the draft went, the Tatum, Curry, and Giannis were the three guys that I was looking at. And I ruled Curry out because I just thought that this would be the season where they may not get out of the West. And I wasn't as high on the Nuggets as I should have been.
Well, none of us were.
Shame on me.
I picked him to lose in the first round. Nope. Yeah.
So,
and I wasn't much better.
At the end, so my debate between Giannis and Tatum was, who did I think was going to go furthest? And I just thought the team itself, I liked Boston's makeup of the team better than Milwaukee. So I went with Tatum, and I am happy I did. I mean, I was looking at some of his stats. I mean, he was, am I still on, guys?
Yeah, you're good.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Sorry. My screen went black. Sorry about
that.
No,
you're good.
I was looking at his, he played 24 games, I believe 20 or 24 games. And, when you're drafting a playoff, you want to see who's going to be around the longest and who's, what's your gut telling you. And
exactly.
I just thought Tatum was going to, I thought Boston was actually going to make it out of the East. So that's why I thought Tatum was the safest pick at number one.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. I mean, that's exactly what you want to do. You want to get the best players, but the ones that you think are going to be around the longest too. Because like we said, you just keep going until you're done. So you want to have that production going as long as possible.
Yeah, and especially this year, the way it was set up with the East being, we thought we had an idea of who was going to go far, whereas the West was just a juggernaut. It was a crapshoot.
So. Yeah, and we did our, at the end of the season one, we did kind of a recap of the rankings for both regular season and playoffs. We did our, we did the top 25, top 26 technically of the playoffs. And Jason Tatum was third overall in terms of nine categories totals. So it was a great pick. It worked out really well.
Yeah, I was, like I said, it was between him or Giannis. Because like Scott just said, the West being such a juggernaut, you didn't know, there was not a guarantee who was going to come out of the West. Where I felt pretty confident that it was going to be, I thought it was going to be Boston in the finals.
Yeah, and they didn't even make it to the finals, which makes it even more impressive what Tatum did. You know, he played 20 games. They had a lot of deep runs. We talked about it. The Celtics went deep pretty much in every series that they were in, but nonetheless, yeah, third overall, can't really argue with that.
Yeah, I had the same strategy going in. I wanted Boston players out of any team. That was the team I wanted. And by the time I got to my pick, because I was the second from last pick in the round, Jaylen Brown was gone, Jason Tatum was gone, and then it was like, all right, pivot. now what do we do? And that's where we went to Sacramento, and I thought Sacramento would upset Golden State, so I went that route. But yeah. You want to go through the rest of Pat's picks, or
I think what we should do is just I can read off the names, and then when we get to Pat's picks, we can just kind of break those down. If that sounds cool.
That sounds great.
So the rest of round one went Steph Curry, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, Jaylen Brown, your boy Domas,
yes,
Sabonis,
sir.
Brooke Lopez, Jimmy Butler, Drew Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, Donovan Mitchell. This is round two now, by the way. Sorry. Chris Paul, Chris Middleton, Jaren Jackson Jr., Anthony Davis, LeBron James. And now at the end of round two, beginning of round three, back-to-back picks, Pat was up. I'll let you announce them.
with that pick, I went with the team that I thought was going to be meeting Boston in the Eastern Finals. Was it set up that way? I don't remember. I thought another guy that was going to make a long run was going to be Philadelphia. So I went with James Harden, who I had him on the season long team and had he was up and down. So he was a risky pick, but I just thought that we were finally going to see James Harden kind of break through in the playoffs and have a good run. I want to say his stats were decent. He came in at number 25. He averaged 20 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal, almost 2 steals a game. He only played 11 games. So it's kind of a little disappointing playoff run for Philadelphia this year.
Yeah, so, Boston and Philly met in the conference semifinals.
Okay.
And it went 7 games.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember that series now. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, it went 7. That way it guaranteed you one of your first 2-round picks too, yep, in the conference finals at that point. So you'd have
and one out.
Good call.
Yep.
Good strategy.
It is a great strategy.
Yep. Yeah. So Boston wound up taking that series and yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
speaking of Boston, your next pick.
My next
beginning
pick,
of round three.
Beginning of round three, I doubled down with Boston and I went with Al Horford.
One of the greatest true shooters of all time.
Not this year.
Yeah. So I went with Boston, another, a guy to give me Al Horford to give me some more rebounds and just maybe a little bit more consistency. But I mean, he had a pretty disappointing playoffs. I don't even think he made the top 25.
Well, here's the deal. No, oh, we did. Talked about it. He did. Yeah. He actually was 10th overall. And I remember Scott and I were going through it and Scott, you were like, there's no way.
Yep.
But surprise. He played 20 games. He played almost 31 minutes a game.
Minutes.
Yeah. And if you look at his defensive stats, like, over a steal and almost 2 blocks a game,
yeah,
3 assists. And but over 7 boards. I mean, that all
his field goal percentage hurt.
Oh, it was atrocious. It was the worst maybe ever.
Yeah.
But I made so much.
I did my reference wrong. I was supposed to say elite shooter. That's what I was supposed to say. Not true shooter. Sorry.
Well, either way, yeah, the shooting was a bit of an issue. But like I said, he did all that other stuff across 9 categories. And, when you add it all up, it was productive. It was productive enough for him to be in the top 10. So, yeah. As unbelievable as it was, he was right there and gave you, solid production for your team.
Yeah.
So it is so pick. Unbelievable. It's crazy unbelievable. Like the fact that if you go, Boston, they go this far, Al Horford's going to be the second best totals fantasy player on or third, I'm sorry, after Derek White, my bad.
Yeah. And it was close though.
Yeah. It's crazy. No, yeah. It turned into be an awesome pick.
Yeah. All right, I'll go ahead and keep going here. So the rest of round three went Robert Williams, Darius Garland, Ja Morant, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Kawhi Leonard, Jamal Murray, Desmond Bane, De'Anthony Melton. Then we get into round four. We got Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, Evan Mobley, De'Aaron Fox, Tobias Harris, Karl Anthony Towns, Marcus Smart, Jared Allen, and Draymond Green. And now we're back to Pat here. Back-to-back picks again.
Yeah, back-to-back picks. I've already kind of, with the first three picks, went pretty heavy east, Eastern Conference. So I looked at potential Western Conference teams that could make a long run. And so I went with the last pick in the fourth round. I ended up going with D'Angelo Russell to give me some more point guard stats, some more assists, and on a team with LeBron, you figured he was gonna be around for a while because LeBron just doesn't like to lose in the playoffs. So you figured he would be around, but I mean, the Lakers got knocked out in round two, ended up losing to the soon to be NBA champion. Yeah. Denver Nuggets. So not the most glamorous pick, but D'Angelo Russell, solid player. He was okay, I believe.
Yeah, he was the third Laker drafted after AD and LeBron. And
yeah, he ended up, what, 38? And then if you're taking an overall 40th pick, I mean, I guess it lines up pretty well.
Yeah, yep. Good value.
Yeah, so, and then doubling down with the first pick in the fifth round, ended up going with Michael Porter Jr. from the
Golden Nuggets.
Western Conference.
Western Conference. I doubled down with the West, and I mean, that was another guy, Michael Porter Jr., number 20, 20th overall, played 20 games, played over almost 33 minutes a game, averaged 13 points, almost 2.5 threes a game, 2.3 threes, 8 rebounds.
That's huge.
Assists, a half a steal a game, and almost a block a game. I mean, getting the production and having him for 20 games really helped my team get to be able to win the championship.
Yeah, I was gonna say, especially the second half, because if I remember correctly, Michael Porter Jr. wasn't that great in the early rounds, and then he kind of turned a corner and picked it up. So it was nice that he was around the entire playoffs for all four series. Yeah. So,
yep. All right, so the rest of the picks that round went Derek White, Bobby Portis, Josh Okogie, Tyrese Maxey, DeJounte Murray, Julius Randle, Trae Young, Jordan Poole, and Aaron Gordon. The next round, round six, was Russell Westbrook, Rudy Gobert, John Collins, Spencer Dinwiddie, Mitchell Robinson, Malcolm Brogdon, Grayson Allen, Austin Reeves, Kevon Looney. And that puts us back at the end of that round. And Pat, you had back-to-back picks here again.
Yep.
Back-to-back. The bio.
There it is. I think this pick right here really solidified winning it this year with Bam. Getting him at six in the sixth round, getting the value that I got from Bam, who finished 11th overall, played 24 games, 37 minutes, averaged 17.5 points a game, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, almost a steal a game, almost a block a game. Shot the ball almost 50%, so not too bad field goal percentage. I mean, he just matched up in the finals against, you know, probably the best player in the NBA right now, in Nikola Jokic.
So, yeah, none of us had Miami. It's funny because, like, we talked about how Shan, with his first picks, he took Brooke Lopez and Jimmy Butler. So, like, you know, of course, Jimmy, Miami Heat, nobody else from the Heat had been taken at this point in our draft. So, you know, everybody was kind of off. It almost is kind of surprising that Shan didn't take Bam at some point earlier and kind of doubled down at that point. But,
Well, if I remember correctly, didn't Miami have to, they were in the play-in tournament, right? So they weren't in the playoffs. They had to play in the play-in tournament. They had to win 2 games just to be the 8th seed.
Yeah. So I think they had won by the point we did our draft. I think they had either won or they were like about to win their game. I think we knew that they were in, but we knew that they were going to be playing against the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round. And, you know, that was a matchup that I think most of us had.
Because they actually, didn't they lose the first play-in game?
They did. Yeah, that's why they fell. They fell to the 8th seed when they could have had the 7th seed if they beat Atlanta in the play-in.
Yeah.
But then they would have played Boston, and I don't know if they would have beat Boston. So
yeah, probably. Yeah, probably worked a different story.
Yep. It kind of worked out for them. So.
Yeah.
Because, it was Atlanta. Atlanta just trounced them in that first playing game. Yeah, we're like, oh, no. Yeah. That, man. Crazy how shit works out.
Exactly. So then that brings us to round 7. And, Pat, you had another pick there.
Yep. I ended up going with Jared Vanderbilt, another Laker. another Western Conference team. Another, you know, if I double down with the Lakers, thinking that, you know, the LeBron factor, maybe he would help propel that team to get a little bit further in the playoffs. So nothing really, no earth-shattering kind of logic behind that pick other than I just thought he might have been around a little longer in the playoffs, get some few extra minutes from a guy, you know, getting them in the seventh round. So I just figured that would be somewhat of a safe pick.
Yeah, he's solid, especially in nine categories. I mean, he does so much across the board defensively and stuff. He's always very underrated. But if he's got a steady role, you know, if he's getting consistent playing time, you know, and like you said, you're targeting these guys that you think are going to be around for a while. So at this stage of the draft, that's what it's all about, just plucking people that you think have a chance to make a deep run.
Yeah, I was going to say from here on out through what round 7 through 10, I don't even know if it's worth going through each name on these in these yeah. rounds. It's more or less just picking who you think just, you know, has the best opportunity to get you some points.
Well, I can read off the names real quick and we'll just get back to Pat's and just kind of let him finish out his team if
sure.
that's cool.
Let's do it.
So just real quickly here, round 7, Dante DiVincenzo, Anthony Edwards, Dylan Brooks, Santi Aldama, Josh Hart, Nick Claxton, Dennis Schroeder, Keegan Murray, and RJ Barrett. Then for round 8, it went Emmanuel Quickley, Clint Capella, Tyler Hero, who wound up getting hurt, obviously, Vika Zubats, Cam Johnson, Caris LeVert, Bruce Brown, Jay Crowder, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and that brought us back over to Pat, the end of round 8.
Yeah, and I ended up going with Mike Conley just to my thought process was just to try to get some more assists and help boost some of the categories just to I didn't think that they were going to be around for a ton of games. I mean, Minnesota only played 6; they were knocked out in the first round. So I just I was just trying to get the best available there to. Yeah. To possibly help with the assists and to just maybe build up some of those categories to where later on in the playoffs it was going to be a little bit harder to lose some of those categories to teams that may have an extra point guard going that I don't have.
Yeah, the talent level drops off pretty significantly here. Oh, I mean, yeah. We'll go over the last 2 rounds too. It gets way worse.
Yeah.
Just looking at these names.
Although yeah, KCP here, the next pick you're going to name is he was what top 15, I believe.
He was the pick. He was actually my guy. I actually picked him right before Pat had the back to back pick.
Oh, that was before. I'm sorry. I'm going the wrong way.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. And then I went with Torrey Craig. And again, it just.
He was on Phoenix during the playoffs. So.
Trying to fill out the roster with guys who could be specialists in some categories like steals or, you know, defensive categories and just, you know, rolling the dice and trying to find, you know, see what sticks.
Yeah. I mean, at this point you're just looking for bodies, you know, at this point, I think you're just trying to find guys that are either starters or, you know, like heavy rotation guys that, you know, regardless of if they get knocked out in the first round, you know, as long as they're healthy, they're going to be out there, they're going to get minutes, and they're going to put up some kind of numbers. So
these guys are great though too, because you're talking about Conley and getting stuff, and he ended up, where did he end up? 53 overall, and then you got Torrey Craig who ended up 68th overall, and you're picking 8th and 9th round. It's like you're still getting great value out of these late guys.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. I mean, not the only reason you win, but big reasons why you win. So.
Yeah, this is like we're at like pick 80 or something like that at this point. So, we're getting down to the end. And speaking of which, you know, these last 2 rounds, like I said, I'm going to read these names off real quick, but, you know, there's not a lot here. The rest of round 9 went PJ Tucker, Kyle Lowry, Tyus Jones, Dorian Finney-Smith, Malik Beasley, Kevin Huerter, Pat Connaughton, Harrison Barnes, and Onyeka Okongwu. And then the last round 10 was Bogdan Bogdanovic, Malik Monk, Marcus Morris, Mason Plumlee, Jalen McDaniels, Grant Williams, Xavier Tillman, Sadiq Bey. I took Paul George, which turned out to be useless, but yeah, again, rolled that dice. You know, yeah. Figured the talent upside was worth it at this point. And that brings us to the final pick, the very last
pick. Final pick. Yeah.
Patrick
Jenkins. Mr. Irrelevant and Quentin Grimes. Again, another
starter.
Another starter going to play. He's going to be, the minutes are going to be there. So you'll take whatever kind of production you can get from him. So nothing crazy other than just, you know, like Steve just mentioned, he's a starter. So he's going to play. He's going to be on the court. So anything you can get from him, you'll take as a bonus.
I think the matchup there was really generous too, because it was New York and Cleveland in that first round. And depending on your thought process, mine was, I thought New York was going to win that series. So that's also a great move. I don't know if you thought the same too, but that's in those 4 or 5 matchups, especially taking people late in rounds. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he finished 95th overall. He played 9 games and he played almost 27 minutes a game. So the minutes are there, and if the minutes are there, the production might be consistent. I mean, some of the guys that went after him are just not, I don't know. It just, to me, it just felt like the right pick and the right matchup for him as well. Like you said, 4 or 5, anything can happen.
For sure. For sure. So yeah, I think that covers your team, your championship team. Pretty sweet. Yeah. Everything worked out pretty well. The strategy worked pretty well. Anything, I guess, you take out of this that you'd do differently next year, or any thoughts that you'd be like, hey man, like maybe I should do this or focus this way, or kind of the same mindset that you had this year?
I'm just going to take the same mindset, because I've had different mindsets the first 3 years that we've done this, where I was taking the big names, even if I thought they were not going to be around long. I figured, hey, if I get 6 games from this guy, maybe he will give me a boost in some categories and stuff. So no, I think the mindset that I took this year, where looking at teams that are going to pick a handful, or, you know, a couple of teams from the East, a couple of teams from the West, and really focus in on them and just take the best available on those teams when it gets to me at the certain, I mean, I got lucky to get the number 1 overall pick. And I mean, Jason Tatum's a stud, and I would, if we were doing the draft again, I'll take Jokic, knowing that they're going to win the championship. Yeah. But I would still, Jason Tatum would still be a guy that would go early.
Yeah, for sure. Good call.
So, yeah, I don't know if you want to go anything further than that. I think that pretty much describes everything you drafted, how everything worked out. I think we touched on past episodes. Like we said, the full top 25, I believe you said, we went through and kind of ranked and went through. So I think that's pretty covered.
Yeah, we did that at the end of season 1. So about a month ago.
So, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it's just an opportunity to say one more time, you know, that these leagues are a lot of fun. I recommend them to anybody who does fantasy during the regular season. I don't know why they're not offered more. I mean, we've talked all about it. They do DFS the whole time during the playoffs, and that's fine. That's fun. But, you know, I like doing this type of league where you can draft a team and, like, that's your squad the whole duration of the playoffs. And it's just kind of fun to see how it plays out, who winds up having the best draft. And then we get to talk about it at the end.
Yep. No, it's awesome. I love the playoff leagues. They're my favorite thing, especially for somebody's kind of OCD, gives a short attention span. I only got to pay attention and watch it for like 2 months here. So
yeah, it's pretty cool. It's super chill, you know, just something to do. It gives you an incentive to keep watching the games and following along. It's a good time.
Yeah. But like you said, huge shout out to Fantrax. We love you guys for providing this for us and this platform to use. It's awesome.
Keep the party going.
And I guess we thank everybody for listening to Menace Podman. You can find episodes every week. We of course thank Pat for joining us, sharing your championship team. You're welcome on the podcast anytime.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you. I enjoyed myself. It was fun.
No, glad you could make it. And just special thanks to everybody that listens. Remember, get those reviews, get that messages, the rankings out there. We can definitely use them. And hopefully you're enjoying what you hear every week. And that's it. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And Miss Parliament.